Shall we begin? Shall we start with a moment of silence? Will you join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
The Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Sam, will you do roll call, please?
Charlie Hawkins.
Here.
Dennis Olson.
Here.
Bonnie Onion.
Here.
Paul Greeno.
Here.
Steve Lawrenson.
Here.
Mary Lou Stewart.
Here.
And Harry Robinson requests to be excused.
So moved. Second.
It's been moved and seconded that we excuse Harry. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. It's unanimous. Let's see. Awards and recognition. This is actually one of my favorite parts of the job. I've known June now for perhaps 8 years, and we have a chance today to recognize her contributions over the last, 30 years? June, if you would please join us. You don't get away for free on this one. Please the audience. June Arnold is retiring this month after working as a gardener at Peace Arch State Park for 37 years. She has also served 10 years on the Blaine Park and Cemetery Board during the period the Blaine Marine Park was developed. In addition, she served 2 years on the City of Blaine Trails and Open Space Committee. And as if that were not enough, she has been a member of the Yard of the Week Committee since its inception in 2007. June has lived in Blaine since she was in second grade. She began working at the park part-time while she was attending college, and in 1987 she began working full-time at the park, rising to become the park's head gardener. Over the years, she designed many of the flower beds in the park and started the annual Dahlia Tuber Sale that raises funds for the purchase of flowers for the park. June is both a master gardener and a master composter. She has shared her passion and knowledge of gardening with the community by mentoring new gardeners and by teaching both gardening and composting classes in Blaine. She has helped the Peace Arch State Park and local business create composting programs. In short, her many years of experience as a master gardener and the head gardener at the Peace Arch State Park have been a genuine asset to the city of Blaine. Thank you, June, for building a more beautiful Blaine. For now, do you have a few words for us?
It doesn't feel like it's only 2 days away, but the time has come. And I have some great grandkids to get to hang out with and a lot of, new chapters I'm looking forward to. But it's been a blast, and I really, really have always loved my job. And that's a long time to really love your job, so thank you.
Thank you, Jude. Audience participation. Sam, has anybody signed up to participate? Closers. Kathy McDevitt? Would you like to address us? Would you like to address the council? Please come forward to the dais, state your name and address.
Physical address.
Physical address, please.
Yep. I'm sure.
My name is Catherine Jean McDevitt, actually, but I go by Kathy. And I live at 7476 Sunset Drive in Birch Bay. And first of all, I rented a car in order to come to this meeting this evening because my car was totaled in April and I have not purchased a new one. Because I have macular degeneration in my right eye, and that is causing me vision problems, and I have now, I'm playing my violin. I have a heart condition that became apparent this spring, a 5% blockage angina. Well, this has to do with my topic, which is I came here two times before, but I was always about 5 minutes late, which is my habit all my life. So I missed the chance to speak. And so this time I made sure I got here early, and it's really a good time, I think. The other times might have been too early, because my topic is shopping in Blaine for food. I moved here 4.5 years ago, and I found that the Dollar Tree was a very nice place. I had missed it greatly because I lived in Africa, where it's hard to buy things. And the only thing I missed while living in Africa was the dollar store, because I lived in Japan before that, and they have the 100 yen store. So if I may tell you a joke, when I came home, I used to say, I'm going to the $100 store, because I got the 100 yen and the dollar mixed up. I know the difference. But anyway, so I go to the Dollar Tree in Ferndale or Bellingham in order to buy food, because they have refrigeration. I am living by myself. I am on a pension. Or Social Security and savings. I am living at a level in which I am fairly comfortable and I am able to take care of myself, but I felt that buying a car was no longer necessary and I might not be able to pass the license renewal, although my macular degeneration has been stabilized by a very wonderful doctor. But in the meantime, my heart decided to start giving out. And so that may be presenting another problem about stress and driving. So I don't drive. I take the bus, but buses don't run at night. That's why I had to rent a car today. So we who have no options other than Cost Cutter and the market cannot afford to buy our food in Blaine. And so I have researched as carefully as I could why the Dollar Tree in Blaine does not have refrigeration. It turns out that Cost Cutter has a condition in their lease that runs out in 2018, but until that time, Cost Cutter has barred the Dollar Tree from putting in any refrigeration. You may research that if you like, but I did check that with Dollar Tree and their legal people. And, of course, Cost Cutter said, oh, well, we can't change that, and I was wondering why. It wasn't written in stone, I didn't think. But, of course, they refused to change it. So I gave up until this year when it is coming due to renew that lease. And I talked to the property managers of the what I found out is called the International Mall. The property manager said, oh, well, we can't influence them. We can't change that. Again, why? It's written by human beings. I see no reason why human beings can't decide to change things. I talked to the manager at Dollar Tree. She said, yes, of course, we would like refrigeration. I talked to the regional manager and the district managers of Dollar Tree. They said they would like refrigeration in every one of their stores. It is profitable for them, and it is a good service to their community members. So, as I said, I go to Ferndale. But in the summer, I cannot bring back food that is frozen because it will be thawed by the time I get on the bus with my little cart and I get back to Birch Bay. No matter how I try to time it, I cannot bring frozen food back from Ferndale and have it still frozen in the summer. Now, it's nice and handy in the winter because it's cold. But the other day, I brought back a cart that was too full. I walk up the hill from Morrison to Sunset. Now, you may ask me why I use that steep way, but every way to go to Sunset from Alderson bus stop is steep. I could not walk, sirs and ma'am. I had to crawl because I could not get that cart up that hill. I crawled halfway up. It was dark. I no longer have to have pride. I'm too old for pride, and it's not practical. So number one, the cost of the food in, we have no options. Cost Cutter is expensive. The market owns it. The market is more expensive. So I said, could you have a senior discount? Well, the market has a senior discount from 7 in the morning till 10 in the morning on Wednesday. But they are already 20% higher than any other store. So what difference does that discount make? None. Therefore, I buy their frozen items that are almost expired because I grew up with expired food. It hasn't killed me yet. I'm almost 70. So I'm not concerned about whether it's frozen and expired and as long as it hasn't killed me. And the end of the story when I came up the hill was the gentleman who lives next to that path saw me when his light went on and he came out and said, "Dear, do you need help?" And I said, "I don't know. Do I look like it?" Well, I didn't mean to be smart aleck. I really didn't want to ask for help. I've been proud and independent, and I've been careful all my life to pay for everything and do everything. And now I find that I'm losing some of those abilities, but I still don't want to ask for help. I don't want to be dependent. I don't want to use the food bank. I don't want to have help unless I absolutely, positively cannot move my fingers. So I am asking you to think what you might be able to do to influence Cost Cutter when they renew their lease in 2018 or this year when they start to negotiate. I am asking if you, as members of this community, thinking of other members who are not employed, who may have special difficulties, who may be single and like to have small portions, and who don't mind frozen food and can afford everything in the dollar store because it costs a dollar. Well, I can't buy the whole store, of course. The food is very useful, very helpful. I don't look like I need to eat, but eventually I do, you know. I have lost weight and I'm glad, but there's a limit if I want to stay alive. So my budget does still allow me to pay for the food as long as I do not shop in Blaine. Seriously. Absolutely, I cannot. I have priced the items. As we know, every item in the dollar store is a dollar. But, for example, canned or packaged milk is a dollar in the dollar store. It is $3.98 in Cost Cutter. Now, this was done about 6 months ago. Who knows what it costs now? Smoked sausage, I shouldn't like that. That is the same, sometimes the same price. Hot dogs, a dollar in the dollar store, up to $1.68 or so in the Cost Cutter. This is not the market because I don't even walk in there. Salad dressing, a dollar. I didn't price that. Canned salmon, a dollar, $1.39 in Cost Cutter. There are certainly, when I talked to the manager of Cost Cutter, he said I would be neutral on this subject. Well, I'm not neutral about the nutrition of our elderly, of our disabled, of our children who are living in families that can't afford food. We know that there are a lot of people who have to use the food bank. Why? Why? They can't afford to buy in this town. So if you wonder why there are people who do not shop in this town for anything, just ask me why. Because when I go to Fred Meyer or I go to Bellingham, I'm going to do everything I can in one time, even if I have a car and I don't. I'm going to do all those errands at one time to save gas, to save time, to save going out in the rain every day. I have to be sure not to buy too many things because I have learned the hard way that I can't get up the path, even with the shopping cart. So, I'm asking you, I know you will say to me, "Oh, but we don't make contracts." Please, no one, I myself, was told if I talked to Cost Cutter about their prices, they would block my calls and they said I was harassing them. I said, "Sir, we're talking here about human beings. You're talking only about profit."
Okay, Kathy, I'm terribly sorry, but I'm afraid that you've gone over the limit.
Yes, well, I know, but I'm sorry. This is very important, and I will stop with that. But I'm asking if you can think very hard about a way to bring shoppers to this town, like me, people who live here, I see, get on the bus with their cart and go to Fred Meyer and get all of their food.
Okay, Kathy, what I'm going to do is to ask our city manager to look into the possibilities and get back to you if you could. Is that possible?
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Phone numbers on that piece of paper?
Yes. Well, I can.
No, I'm afraid
check.
It's not.
Oh, I'm sorry. Just my address.
Thank
yes.
you, Kathy.
Yes, thank you so much.
Written communications. Sam?
So, we have an email dated November 15th, 2016, from Craig Stelplug regarding speeding traffic and speed control signs. And then we have emails dated November 16th, 2016, from city staff regarding the Craig Stelplug email received on November 15th, 2016.
Thank you, Sam. On to the public hearing. We have two public hearings tonight. The first is on the 2017 property tax levy, which is being continued. Person speaking on any issue will be allowed 5 minutes. Additional non-repetitive testimony will be allowed after all testimony has been heard. Would anybody like to speak on the property tax levy increase? Seeing none, we close the public hearing and move to the second public hearing, which is the 2017 budget. Would anybody like to speak on the 2017 budget? Seeing none, we declare the public hearing closed.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor.
Sir.
If you could keep the 2017 budget hearing open until the final budget is adopted on December 12th.
Okay, then we shall keep the budget hearing open until December 12th?
That's correct.
Great, we shall do that. Consent agenda. We have three items on the consent agenda. The first is approval of bills in the amount of $1,037,024.93. The second item is the approval of the council study session minutes for November 14. And the third is approval of council minutes for November 14, 2016. Do I have a motion for approval?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? Shall we vote? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. It's unanimous. On to council action items. The first item is a resolution fixing the time for a public hearing on a position to vacate. Mr. Bullock?
So good evening, Council. Bill Bullock, Assistant Public Works Director, Public Works. I'm going to present to you our preliminary findings as well as present a resolution for setting the public hearing for a proposed vacation of a portion of Georgia Street. basically, just to outline real quick, setting a public hearing to consider the vacation. We'll have a vicinity map, a petition summary, and the preliminary findings that are required by code. So, Georgia Street, I guess I don't have a highlighter, but Georgia, the portion of Georgia Street is highlighted in yellow on the aerial photo. It's just directly east of Mitchell Avenue. And the inset there is the official plat map with the piece of property that is adjacent to the proposed vacation.
That's west.
West.
West?
West of
Mitchell. Yes, west of Mitchell, correct. The petition is to vacate the settle the 20 feet of Georgia Street between lots 1 through 6. Vicinity map, if you can read lots 1 through 6, is basically lot B is inclusive of lots 1 through 6. It equals about 3,000 square feet. The proponent has stated that it's needed to create additional parking for a building proposal. And, of course, it will also be subject to a utility easement for utilities, both public and private. The evaluating the preliminary findings that Public Works is required to take a look at according to code are basically four different items. First one, this doesn't abut any public water bodies because we can't vacate access to water, so that's not applicable in this situation. Future public use, right now the right-of-way is currently active and open. It is Georgia Street, and the future public uses that it may have are for things like utilities or potentially actually road widening, but it does have some future potential uses. This application doesn't have any component of it that corrects the condition created by an applicant, for instance, if there's a building that's over the property line or over the right-of-way line. And there are times where we will consider vacating right-of-way to clear a cloud of title. And then the last component of our preliminary findings to determine whether it can move forward to a public hearing is maintaining or creating straight and continuous lines on a single block. This proposal, it was suggested to the proponent that this is going to be a piece that he's going to need to address, but in his application he chose just simply to ask for that portion along his property frontage, not along his neighbor's. But the right-of-way is currently straight and continuous 80-foot width. This application will create a non-contiguous right-of-way as it's currently proposed, and it will be a right-of-way of 60-foot width, which in this particular case, for the nature and classification of this portion of road, is not inappropriate. So the process that we'll be going through, of course, right now is we're setting the public hearing date for January 9th, but we will give a detailed staff report amongst the rest of the components of the code that we're expected to analyze, and then we'll be asking the City Council to either approve, deny, or the third option is to direct the proponent to revise their vacation proposal if it's found that it needs to meet some other components. And then with that, we will have a summary of the applicant's costs and an estimate of what a fee appraisal, because when you vacate property, you have to purchase it from the city, depending on the code, I think. And this, the way our code reads, will be 50% of the appraised value because it's dedicated right away as opposed to owning fee title by the city. And so just a couple pictures, looking west and looking east on the section of right away that's being asked to be vacated. On the picture to the left, the property to the left, right behind the stop sign, is the side of the street that this right-of-way is being asked for. And that's basically it.
Do we have any comments, questions, or discussion? Seeing none, do I have a motion to schedule a public hearing?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion?
I have a question for Bill. Will the, at the public hearing, will the neighbors be notified?
Part of the notification process, in addition to posting the vacation request in three areas on the property, is also to contact the neighboring owners on the street with individual letter.
Now, is that...
So the answer is yes, but...
I guess my question is, what length of Georgia Street will the neighbors be contacted?
I believe it would be all the neighbors on the same block, north and south of the street. I would expect to get a written letter notifying them of the vacation request so that
not
they have
the ones on the east side of Mitchell.
I would say that would probably be correct, yes. The properties on the east side of Mitchell are not on the same block, which is typically how the how the road segments are broken up is block by block. So the property owners on the block that's being affected will be notified by mail. The others will have to either read it in the paper or see one of the signs posted on the street.
And as far as this is just a single individual requesting vacation of a portion of that public street?
That is correct.
Not the whole length?
That is also correct, as he's applied.
Is this usual for the city of Blaine to?
Well, being as I've only done one vacation in the city, I would say that it's unusual because our code specifically addresses a requirement to vacate continuous blocks at a time, at the same time.
Yeah, I have a concern because the parking that's being asked for is right on the corner of Mitchell.
Yeah, I understand. That's why we will be coming forward with a detailed review of what the requirements are by code. I believe the piece of the code, I have it printed out for me right here, is 1216060B says the city shall not vacate any previous dedicated rights of way unless upon all the facts presented in the public hearing, it concludes that. And number five is, number six, the vacation will maintain or create straight and continuous rights of way lines for at least one side of the full block. So this may very well be something we ask the proponent to revise, but again, that's going to be part of the detailed findings from Public Works.
Okay. Further comments or questions? Bonnie?
Does this fulfill their parking requirements that they would get this vacation?
That would be a question for community development.
Presumably, yes. I don't have the site plan in front of me, but I'm certain that's why they asked for it.
Okay.
And there are probably other ways to do that, like reduce the number of units. But I would really encourage council to set the public hearing and have the discussion when the applicant is present, rather than have the discussion before the hearing is set. But I believe, yes, SPAMA does.
Okay. Agreed. We're being asked to set a public hearing, not to debate the merits of the matter at this point.
Yeah. Well, that kind of had to do with the applicant, but my second question doesn't. Would it be feasible or would it make sense, and has the city ever vacated the rest of the block to make it a continuous?
I really don't know. Like I said, I've only performed one vacation in the city since I've been here.
But we could do that as a city. We could.
I believe the normal, just from reviewing other older vacations since I've been here, I believe the normal course of action would be to send the vacation petition back to the proponent, ask them to revise it and represent it at a later date with whatever requirements you're asking them to do.
Oh, okay. All right.
Right now we're being asked to set a date. Do we have a
Correct.
Motion to set the date?
Yes.
Okay. Do we have any further discussion that's related directly to setting the date? Shall we vote? All in favor of setting the date as mentioned in the resolution, January 9th, 2017, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
I won't be voting on it.
Okay. So the vote is 5, chair votes aye, 6, and 1 abstention. Sorry, 5 and 1 abstention.
Correct.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, now we shall take off the table the motion, the ordinance to adopt the 2017 property tax levy. Did I do that correctly, Sam?
Yes, but you removed it from the table.
Okay, so that we now have the 2017 property tax level. Jeff, will you speak to that?
So you have before you the property tax ordinance to set the 2017 property tax levy. And as per state law, council has the option of increasing the property tax levy by 1% and that would be on the previous year's revenue plus any new construction. A 1% increase on the current revenue of $1,071 would generate a total of approximately $10,712 in additional property tax revenue for 2017. And so assuming an assessed property value of $250,000, on average, the city's annual property tax bill to the homeowner would increase about $3.52. And then this ordinance also authorizes 17 cents per $1,000 of assessed valuation, which goes to the payment on the capital bond that we have on the Odell Road Fire Station. And that was approved by voters in 2002. And that bond matures in 2021. So as I said, council has the options of taking the 1% increase or taking no increase for 2017.
Okay, do we have a motion suggesting one option?
Do we have questions first? Or do we have to do the motion first?
I'll make a motion to take the 1% increase.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Discussion, Charlie?
If we don't pass the 1%, then we'll have to take the 17.
You still have to take the 17, yes, because that was approved by voters. Correct.
Further comments or questions?
Just clarification. That $3.52 is per year.
That's per year.
$250,000 assessed valuation.
Yes.
Further comments or questions? Dennis?
I think we need to take the 1% because the costs that the city's incurring are going up that at least.
Jeff, did you specify how much money the 1% increase would?
It would generate an additional $10,712.
$10,000, thank you.
Yes.
Further comments or questions? Seeing none, shall we vote in favor of option one? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Chair votes aye. It's unanimous. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
Now I move to commission, committee, and board reports. Blaine Economic Advisory. David?
The next meeting is scheduled for next Tuesday, the 12th, or the 6th.
Blaine Tourism and Advisory Committee. Stephen?
No report.
Blaine Chamber of Commerce, Bonnie?
There's a meeting next Wednesday, no report.
WTA Board, no report. Drayton Harbor Shellfish Advisory Committee, Charlie?
They're going to have a celebration to celebrate the reopening of, taking off the restrictions of harvesting oysters out of Drayton Harbor. They've opened up 800 acres to just event closures. Stuff like that. So it's a big deal, and I forgot to bring the paper that said it's fun. But Alec Winger's in charge of that. So anyway, it's a big deal, Drayton Harbor Shellfish District.
It is a big deal, not only for us oyster lovers, but for everybody who likes and enjoys clean water. That's the Library Committee. Dennis?
They're looking to see what the results of the Birch Bay Library Survey is. And that's a topic that's pretty important discussion over there.
Senior Center Liaison, Dennis?
December, they're going to have the bazaar. I think it's the first week end in December. And that's runs for 2 days.
Boys and Girls Club, once again, Dennis?
No report.
Public Works Advisory Committee. Bill, are you standing in for Raven?
Yes, sir. Basically, last month primarily was speaking to the advisory committee about the 2017 public works budget and the traffic impact fee policies and applications. This next, I guess, week, we'll be talking about urban street guidelines and crosswalk policy as our main two subjects.
Thank you. Small Cities Caucus, David?
No report.
Finance Committee, Jeff?
No report.
Whatcom Council of Governments, no report. North Whatcom Fire Update, Chief Hollander.
Evening, Council. Tonight I'm sharing our October Chief's Report with you, which is our statistics through the end of October. And I'm happy to report things have been calm. I'm knocking on wood. And it was a good Thanksgiving. No big structure fires. I just call it average. Nothing serious to report. You can see on the report, I'll just quickly run through some statistics. We're at about, as of the end of October, 3,419 911 calls for the year. And that's up a little over 10%. Blaine had 53, Semiahmoo had 9, and our response times are back to where they normally are, around the 10-minute for the Semiahmoo area. We did have a successful pumpkin carving party, and that's always seems to coincide with the same night that you meet. So I haven't attended one of those yet, but I hear they're successful. I'll let you read through the rest of that and just let you know that the crews were a big help at the Thanksgiving basket, family Thanksgiving basket event, again, like they are every year. The only thing is the turkeys came from a different vendor, so they had to be hand-loaded this year, so I didn't have the luxury of loading them with a forklift. They were all hand-loaded, but the job got done. So with that, I'll answer any questions you might have.
Any questions for the Chief?
Nope.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
On to department reports. Public Works.
So we've got a few things to report. Mitchell Avenue has been physically complete for a few weeks now, mainly due to removal of silt fence and other things as we had a break in the monsoon season we've been having. But it's been a very successful project and done on budget, so we're very happy with all that. Hughes Avenue, which is a project currently under design to redesign Hughes Avenue from Peace Portal to the city limits now. We had one last piece of our funding mosaic to get that accomplished, and so we were just recently awarded $525,000 from TIB last week. That completes our roughly $2.5 million in funding to completely rehabilitate that road, and it's the secondary truck route into our city, so it's pretty important. It will also provide sidewalk all the way to Nature's Path on the south side, so that will be a big improvement for the pedestrians that are on that road. But also it will be a fully competent freight route as well. And then last, well, 5.1 is scheduled to be completed and wrapped up by the end of December. And so we're hoping to get that online as our primary production well in the well field. So barring good weather and all that other kind of good stuff, we are trying to get that done and completed.
Thank you, Bill. Questions, comments,
question. Bill, on the bridge, the Hughes Avenue bridge, that's not going to be widened, is it?
The bridge itself is, well, at this point, no. But likely the bridge deck will be redone, and basically for the pedestrians. We have a plan to reconfigure the bridge. There is one of those options that does extend I'm blanking on what the actual bridge element is, but basically the barrier wall, mm-hmm. That's it, mm-hmm. To basically make some more room for the pedestrian element if it's needed. Okay. Right now, as you know, the configuration has 2 3-foot sidewalks that have thrybeam in the middle of them. Right now, they're working on a proposal with WashDOT to basically eliminate the one on the north side, just down to where the thrybeam is, mm-hmm. And then use that added width to shift that width to the south side where the sidewalk's going to be. Mm-hmm. Hasn't been entirely engineered yet, so it has to go through some approvals before we know which option we need to go with, but mm-hmm. That is part of the plan.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Further comments, questions? Thank you, Bill. Community Development Services, Michael?
No report, sir.
Public Safety, Chief?
Just a couple of items, Your Honor. I think I noted in the work session earlier today that we have had a couple of officers advise that they will be resigning or retiring in 2017, one towards the end of February, one in hopefully puts it off until December, but we'll be working on that replacement project. We have completed our annual in-service active shooter response training with Blaine School District and the Blaine Border Patrol Station, so you won't be seeing that big group of cars outside the school district on Sunday mornings. We're all done with that for the year, and it turned out very well. We have a reserve recruit officer who we're bringing on board, who will be starting the Reserve Academy at Skagit Valley Community College starting this week. It's a 5-month program, and hopefully at the end of it, we'll have an additional volunteer reserve officer on board. Our drug take-back program, which Officer Green has been spearheading and rolled out first to the senior center, is proceeding well. We are going to make that a permanent service program for as long as we're able. We've obtained the drug vault now, and it'll be in our office, and we're preparing the materials now so that folks know they can bring their unused drugs into our office and safely dispose of them with us, and then we in turn have through your good graces have the drug vault or the drug burning vault to get rid of them without additional costs. So we've received multiple compliments from the senior center attendees on the benefits of that program, so we hope to proceed with that. And Santa comes to town this weekend, so hopefully the rain will let up for a few hours, and our auxiliary communications folks will be out with their normal great traffic control and communications force, spearheaded by Mr. Bullock's excellent traffic coordination program for the evening. So get a chance to come on down and say hi to Santa on Saturday. So, any questions I can answer, folks?
Questions or comments?
Mike, December 14th, Brent is going to do a presentation at the Senior Center on schemes, scams, and fraud. And that's from 1 to 2.
Thanks for reminding me and everyone else.
Further comments, questions? Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, sir.
Administrative Services, Sam?
No report.
City Manager.
Good evening, Council. I just have a brief report. The Mayor and Ms. Ondian and I were able to spend an hour with this Congresswoman Del Benny on the Friday, November 18th, specifically to talk about the VACA system. Also included were a couple of high officials from the Border Patrol, the Deputy Director out of Seattle, and then our local director from the area, Kenneth Williams. I think a couple of takeaways, which are important for everyone to know, is that it's absolutely certain in the minds of the Border Patrol that the VACA will not be moved south. That should be off the table. The conversation since I've been here is let's move it south. If we were to move it south, it would resolve all the holdups on various places, from Bell Road down to Hughes and other places. Their comment is that's just not going to happen. It's not moving south, and primarily because they're hopeful that a program that's been initiated on the East Coast will come to the West Coast, whereas the Border Patrol office actually goes into Canada and does their inspections and works through the process they need to certify that that train and its cargo meets the standards and requirements as it comes in the United States. So that's what their plan is. They believe it'll happen within 5 years. I think based upon what's happening on the East Coast, it'll probably be sooner than that. I think the big concern that is in place now, it seems like from the conversation, is that the Canadian community really does not want weapons in its country, and every Border Patrol officer carries at least one, and so that's a high concern that they're bringing weapons into the country. So I think once they can overcome how they do that, and apparently on the East Coast they're working through that. Of course, our system requires that system of protection. So once that's resolved, it sounds like they'll be able to put together the plan to do that. I don't know if it's exactly like a VACA or how they do it. They didn't talk about the specifics But that's their next steps. So from there, I want to thank the police chief, kind of putting the bug in everyone's mind and ear about other alternatives. And one of the big alternatives to help communicate to the public the status of the train is to utilize the sensor system that's already on track from Burlington Northern. You know, they've got a massive facility in Texas that monitors every train on every track 24/7. The trek would be to work with them to access the data relative to the trains that pass through Blaine, maybe work closely with WashDOT to utilize the technology that they currently have for notifying people of traffic problems in other places based upon traffic speed and so forth, but it would be related to the train. That system could also be utilized to potentially put some signs up on various intersections where if you're coming into the city on Drayton Harbor, for example, at the intersection of 543 or the Blaine Road, I guess, there'd be a sign that would tell you that the train is stuck on the track or there's a 20-minute delay or there's some notification, so you have the option to reroute before you get all the way down and are sitting in traffic for 25 minutes. So we'll be working with WashDOT, talking to them about the opportunities. We'll talk to Burlington Northern, talk about what we could do with that system. The last thing we talked about, which I think is very difficult, if not impossible, which is to put an overpass in off of the freeway, includes doing something with Peace Portal to go over the top of the train track, which I'm not an engineer, but it seems like to me the ramps up and down and the distance needed to do that, it doesn't seem to work out in my mind. Geography doesn't seem to add up. But we'll certainly look at all of those options, and we'll continue to follow up. But I think it's important for the council to know that we're not going to pursue any more vicus movement. It's there. So, Ms. Onion, do you have any comments or
just a couple things. Along with that pre-notification thing, that Burlington Northern, you know, like you said, they know where every train is. Working with WashDOT, we're going to be talking to them to see if a phone app could be developed where people who frequently use that route to come into Blaine could actually check their phone and from there be able to see, as well as maybe some signage as well at key intersections so that they can make that decision ahead of time. But it's a possibility a phone app could be developed as well. We talked about that. And also on the Beyond the Borders initiative, which City Manager was talking about, where they will do pre-clearance and pre-inspection in Vancouver before the goods even come into the States. If that does happen, and we're hopeful that it will, that all the kinks will be worked out, there will be no need for the vacus. The vacus would be removed. So that problem would go away. So that's what we're hoping will happen. It may take a few years to get there, but they just said for a variety of reasons, one being that fact that they may not need the vacus at all, they're not willing to move it south in the interim. So that's where the discussion went. So we're going to continue to follow up.
Thank you, David.
Question. Mrs. Thompson came by talking about access from over off of Hughes. Is there anything come about as to make that possible for people over there to be able to have an escape route?
Has there been anything from the fire department's perspective? No. Do you have a comment?
The city does have an emergency access easement through the property to connect Hughes with Layton Street, I think is the name of the street there. And it's actually Dodd to Layton is the connection. And there's been a rough road base put down, basically quarries falls, so that emergency vehicles like an ambulance, a fire truck, and police vehicles could move back and forth through there. There's been no progress or there's been no effort to try to acquire or purchase a right-of-way and develop a street through there at this point. It would still be something that would happen either through capital improvement in the future or development of that.
But you don't really need to have a regular street for that. All you need to, you know, just having that, being able to get that gate open so that things get, so
so you can get out of there or get in, one or the other, if the road's blocked. You don't need to have a full street, you just have to be able to...
It needs to be passable. Well,
yeah, but just passable, yeah. But having the neighborhood know that you can actually get out of there.
Right, and we don't have a right-of-way there. We don't have a full access. We have an emergency access easement granted by the property owner. So that would be something we'd have to purchase. No progress has been made on that because we haven't been working on that.
Further comments or questions? Okay, calendars. Are there any changes to the calendar as noted in item 6? Seeing none, is there any unfinished business? New business. The executive session has been canceled.
We already had it.
Then, seeing no objection, we are adjourned. At 6:51.
Yeah.